My name is Vang Vang. I'm 47 years old. Today's date is Monday, March 2nd, 2020, in Fresno, California. My interview partner is Cao Li, and he's my husband.
Hi, my name is Cao. My last name's Li. I'm 47 years old, and today's date is March 2nd, 2020. Currently live in Fresno, California, and I'm the one that's being interviewed, and I'm the husband.
I know that we've known each other for a long time, and even though we were both born in Laos, I don't really have any memories of it, and I know you do. So can you tell me a little bit more about, you know, what were the hardest moments you had while you were growing up?
Well, I mean, every aspect of the, you know, timeline in my life, it's always been hard. And just talking about it, I know it kind of hurts. But one of the things I do regret, I don't regret being born, but the thing is I do regret being born at the wrong place, wrong time. I'm not sure if that makes any sense. Just that, you know, I was born in Laos, 1972. I mean, according to history, and the Vietnam War was supposed to end when I was born, but the thing is that, you know, the Navy and the Air Force, they got involved. So it didn't actually officially end in, like, 1975. So to me, that was always, like, the hardest phase of any war that you can get into, because retribution. And it's retribution for helping, like, American soldiers. I mean, our forefathers, they didn't know any better. But the thing is that, to me, you know, there was no help in sight, because the thing is, a lot of the soldiers, they've been recalled already. So, you know, the Viet Cong, they crossed over the eastern part of the border, and they hunted us down like, you know, rats. There was no help. So it's always been hard, because the thing is that when I say every single aspect of my life has always been difficult, because the thing is that since, like, the day I was born, I mean, there's no kid that should ever be, you know, go through that kind of, you know, tragedy. So going from there, crossing through, you know, thousands of miles of forest to the western side of, like, you know, border Laos, crossing the Mekong, you know, just going through the concentration camps, taken in by, you know, families. As sponsors, we were sponsored. What I meant hard is that every single phase, it's always been difficult, because the thing is that I was born in Laos. It's like a third-world country. We don't have any education. Not a single word of English. So going through every phase, it's been difficult, even though we're taken in by sponsors by the United States. You have to learn everything. So every phase has always been difficult.
Thank you for sharing that with me. Like I said, I don't have a lot of memories of Laos. I just have some memories of Thailand when we were in the refugee camps. Mm-hmm. And, you know, me just, you know, about 3 years old and, you know, living in places that now when you think about it, it's just basically shanty towns. Mm-hmm. And so it's sad and it's kind of hard, but it's those things that I think make us who we are today. Mm-hmm. And while where we're at today, I think that's where that determination and that will to live and to survive comes from.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I don't know if you remember the movie, you know, Big Fish, but, you know, the father's always talking about all these fantastic stories, always telling the son.
Yes.
Well, I'm kind of like one of those guys.
That's the reason why I asked you to be here, because I know you have tons of stories. You know, we met when we were in freshman in high school together. Mm-hmm. And we've been together in that way for a long time. It's, what, 30 years? Mm-hmm. And how would you describe me now, if you were to go back and meet me as, you know, when I was 15 years old, what has changed and what stuck out the most to you about me?
Would I actually get some brownie points if I told you what you wanted to hear?
No. I just want you to be honest and truthful.
Yeah, I mean, one word do come in mind. I mean, you were always a very cute person. I mean, I had a lot of girlfriends before you, but the story about you, it's always been interesting because, I mean, I never really told anybody about it. I never told you, but you were actually an introduction through my older brother and also my cousin, Ying Tao. Because the thing is that I date a lot of girls, and the thing is that, yeah, they're great, but the thing is that personality is not there. So I asked Rick to actually ask him, see if he had any friends. And then he did recommend you, and then at the same time, my older brother, Pal, he actually worked with you on some kind of summer training.
Yeah, he was a TA.
Yeah, okay. Okay, that's what it was. So that was an interesting story itself. And like I said, it's like the first time I came and saw you, just the way how you speak, the way how you carry yourself, I didn't interact with you because I was just there observing. So, yeah, I knew. I don't know about you. As far as, you know, love at first sight, I don't know how you feel about that. But, yeah, when I saw you, I was like, yeah, definitely she's the she's the girl for me.
Well, you didn't talk to me at all. You were just sitting back, and it was Pao and Ying that were talking because I know Ying because I went to school with him, Rick.
Yeah.
And I know Pao because he was, we're in Summer Bridge, and he was the TA for that. So to me, he was just an instructor. So I was talking to them, and, you know, you never said anything. So I just thought, oh, you know, he's just probably bored to death or something.
And then need to.
After a while, I was just like, okay, I don't need to entertain him. I'll just keep talking to these two guys that are here.
Yeah, I'll just stay observing. So,
yeah. So what would you say to me then, now that we had all this time together?
Well, I mean, I wouldn't do say anything different because the thing is that, and I'm sure you lived your own life already. I didn't want to intrude. Just that, you know, when I saw you, I like you a lot. But the only issue was that even though we're born, you know, same place, same age, you were just cute. You're just too young, because I was more into like older women. That's why if you recall, it wasn't until, you know, about two, three months mm-hmm. after I first came, I didn't interact, but the things that, you know, is I disappeared for a long time.
Yes.
Right.
Just that one time meeting and
right,
that was it.
Right, that was it. I did that for a reason because the things that I still had to look into it to see how I'm going to fit that into, you know, what it is that I want from you. Because the things that, yeah, you're cute and all, but you're still too young, so. That's the reason why I dated you for like 5 years.
Yes, that's true.
Right. But I wouldn't do anything different or say anything different though.
Now that, you know, we have kids and they're 12 and 9, what do you want your children to know about your military service? Because that did play a big part in our life.
Yeah, for them, they're too young to understand. And, of course, I did it. You know, we had kids where we're already late into the, you know, the career because the things that now we have time to actually reflect on the things that we want, the things that we like and we don't like. So, of course, everything is done for them, but the things that they wouldn't understand. I did it for a particular reason because the things that, like I said, I was born in the wrong place, wrong time. But the things that, you're smart enough to understand that, you know, there shouldn't be or anybody out there that's smarter than you are. So, you know, with just that mentality, you know, you're able to persevere and be the person that you are today. But for me personally, I want to understand that, you know, dying for something is not always the right thing to do, but the thing is, you just got to understand that you got to be committed doing things that you know, even if it's going to cost your life, that you're doing the right thing. And that you can be anybody you want to. That's if you just put your mind into it. And for me, I did that for a particular reason, because the thing is that there are a lot of people that help, like my older brother, Patong. He saved not only us, but hundreds of other families. When we crossed the Mekong River, we came over here. There are, you know, the sponsors I wanted to thank, all the people that were helped us, like through the refugee camps. All these individuals, I did it for a reason, because it's not only because I'm obligated to do so. The thing is, I want them to actually live a good life too. That's what my contribution is. I mean, I could just easily be like, you know, a police officer or anything like that. But the thing is that how I was born and raised and where I was at, I wanted to help at like more like the international level. That's why I actually went through the military for that reason. Because, you know, this country has given a lot to me. So by giving back, it's not only about just giving back to your children. It's helping the people here. That's because, honestly, freedom, you know, isn't exactly free. And it always comes with the cost of blood. So I did it for that reason, because it's more like a duty. It's just not because you're obligated to.
I know when you made the decision to enlist, and even though I was there with you,
mm-hmm.
and I asked you, I say, no, well, you know, you were accepted to Cal Poly SLO. I mean, why would you want to enlist in the military?
Mm-hmm.
And I knew that a lot of things were going on, but you just kind of said, you know, this is something I wanted to do. And so I never really thought deeply into it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the reason why I'm asking that question. And for you to give me that answer, I understood. And now I understand why you did what you did. Because that did play a lot into our life,
mm-hmm.
into our relationship. Because there was a big distance there between you and I, even mm-hmm. though we were separate, we were still together.
Yes.
And I knew that I went to school and I was trying to, you know, make something good for us.
Mm-hmm.
I still missed you a lot. Every day. And it felt like I was your girlfriend, like I was your wife. But then it still felt like we were so separated.
Right.
So it was kind of very difficult for me too, when I'm always surrounded by my family. You know, we have a big family.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm always surrounded by them. And for me to be alone that way, especially with my parents living in Wisconsin, and I was at Santa Cruz, it was just very lonely. So that's why I wanted to ask you, because I never really did push it when you first made that decision to do so.
Well, I mean, you were never always alone. I don't know if, because the thing is that for me, like I was telling you a little while ago, that, you know, when I first met you, I disappeared for, you know, several months before reengaging with you, because the thing is, I have to decide whether you're going to be the person or not. So whether I was in the military or not, it doesn't matter what the distance is. The thing is that I went through every imaginable, you know, conflict and tragedy. It's not about, you know, me being depressed because of some kind of chemical imbalance. It has nothing to do with that. Just that I've been through so much. So just a little distance between me and you, you going to school, because I like you the way you are. Okay, I didn't want to restrict you in any way. That's why you went where, you know, I let you go wherever you want to go, even though we were married. It doesn't matter. The whole point is that distance shouldn't be any issue.
I guess playing game helps.
Yeah.
We're always
so.
Playing online games all the time. That helps in the evening when we're together.
Yeah.
The other thing that I wanted to ask you is, you know, when you were talking about the military, did you have an idea of what it would be like, and that you became involved in it, just not as an enlistee, but as an officer?
Mm-hmm.
How does that change your viewpoint, or how does that change you know, would that have changed your decision?
You know, going to military, it was always been a decision where I wasn't, you know, uncomfortable about doing so. The thing is that when I got in, it was just more like helping. So I enlisted, and then, but the thing is, I'd done what I can there already, but it wasn't enough. Thus, I came back, and then I went through the officer corps, and then I went through the military officer corps, became an officer. You have a little bit more latitude as far as what you can do and where you can go, how many troops you can control, because, you know, their life is in your hand. So as far as your question is concerned, it has everything to do with it. The things that I like, the things that I do, but not only is it because it's a career that I'm interested in, the thing is that my life has already been, you know, part of this timeline already. I want to be able to help people because, you know, those that are in need, if I can actually help, even if I'm just a little speck, that's part of that helping hand. I mean, it matters to me because in this lifetime, I mean, what are we without our honor and our reputation, you know what I mean? It's all about just helping people.
In that same line, what are your hopes for your children?
Well, I mean that like any other parent. I mean, you want the best for them. But the things in this lifetime, I think I've done enough where they wouldn't have to go through what I did. I sure hope that. Yeah. They wouldn't have to go through that. And just like anybody else, you just want them to be happy. Find someone that they care about. Hopefully I'll still be around.
Yes, we want grandkids, right?
I doubt it, though. They're too young right now. But to answer your question, yes. That's all it is. Just like any other parents, you just want them to be happy. I hope that I've done enough to help them, to make sure that they don't make the same mistakes like others have made or go through the same conflicts. I mean, honestly, I do believe that, you know, a little conflict here and there will actually shape their personality, but the thing is that they wouldn't have to go through what I did. And they may not be as strong. So if they went through the same issues, I mean, I don't want them to be a broken person, you know. But I just hope that I've done enough to steer them in the right direction. But that's all it is. I mean, I just want the best for them, just like any other parent do.
I mean, that's, for me, kids, when I was younger, you know, with my parents, they had so many kids. Mm-hmm. You know, I have 4 sisters and 3 brothers. And being the eldest, I was very skeptical about having kids, like not a lot anyway. Mm-hmm. So that's how you and I only end up with 2, mm-hmm. because I feel like I want to have kids, but I don't want to have so many mm-hmm. that I, you know, like you're kind of neglecting them or you don't want them to be left behind.
Right, right.
So you want to give them enough attention, but not spoil them.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel that 2 is good because that way we can really devote some time to them, but at the same time, have time for ourselves as well. and I know that, you know, you weren't the oldest in your family. So you were part of the younger.
Pretty much, yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. How does that shape you about when you're raising kids? I know that we both have kids and we raise them together, mm-hmm. but a lot of times we don't really understand why we do certain things.
Mm-hmm.
So you being younger and I was the eldest, and for me it was just always more like, do it this way because I said so. You know, that's kind of how I kind of grew up in my family. Being the oldest, I just have to kind of supervise them and tell them what to do. It's almost like micromanaging, and I hate that.
Mm-hmm.
But I've discovered that sometimes I do that with our kids right now.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the reason why, for you, I do see that you have more time to
give them a little bit more patience, a little bit more time. So that's the reason I have given, let's say, 70% of the care for our kids is mm-hmm. done by you. So how do you feel about that? Are you okay with that?
I mean, for me, nothing really bothers me. Like I said many times, I mean, I've gone through the worst situation. I lost my father and also, my, like three or four of my older brothers. So the thing is that I had to grow up very quickly. And, taking care of kids, I mean, I don't have any issue with that. Because the thing is that even though I'm like one of the youngest one, you had to take, a lot of the responsibility because the thing is that everybody had to pitch in. So even though, yes, of course, you are the oldest in your family, but the thing is that I drew a lot of my experience from my father. Because my father, he's a Lee. My mother's a Tao. When he married her, she was like the oldest in the family. They had like she had like two brothers and like three other sisters. So in our culture, normally, when the guy marries you, you go with the guy's family. But unfortunately, my father became like a Lee / Tao family because when he married her, she was like the oldest. But her father, my grandfather, he got sick. So my father decided to stay with my mother. So that's why, for me, I drew from that. So when I look at you, I'm the youngest, you're the oldest. So chances are I'm going to run into the same issue. So it'll be like a Lee / Fang. But it didn't turn out that way because, this is a different time.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is a different time. So it didn't happen that way. But to me, it didn't bother me as far as taking kids because, I'd taken responsibility at a very young age already. I don't know if you noticed, but, it doesn't really bother me.
I know you talked about your dad and you lost your dad when you were very young.
Mm-hmm.
What is one memory that you have of him that you think you'll always remember about him?
I remember asking my brother, Batong, I said, hey, listen, I was really young. Can you tell me how my father looks like? He says, well, he looks like you, like Pal, like Zay, like me. I'm like, what's that supposed to mean? But, I just knew that I had a father. I don't know how he looks like. Because then I was really young, and my father, he was always busy because he's like my brother, Pal. He takes on responsibility, so he's busy all the time. Morning, he's gone. Nighttime, you never even seen him come back. So he's always busy working all the time. It's great, being provided and stuff like that. But to me, the only thing I remember is, he spent time taking me here, just do a little hunting here and there, or taught me how to trap animals and stuff like that. But I don't remember anything about him.
I know you told me the story about how him teaching you how to trap.
Right, right.
And that saved your life. Can you tell me that story again?
Yeah, that I'm never going to be able to take out of my head, because the thing is that while we were running, in places where it's kind of remote, they sent troops in. They did everything they can to actually exterminate us. And those that they couldn't get to, basically they lobbed like artillery shells. And the first time they came in, you just heard some whistling and you look up. And, the tree canopy disappears right in front of your own eyes. To me, even though I was like 3-4 years old, I didn't take a lot of, it didn't need a lot of convincing to tell yourself that you had to run, you're gonna die. So my grandmother, she grabbed me, and we ran because it was kind of dark at night and we didn't see, so we actually ran into the river, so we were all drenched. and we ran to the mountains, and we were basically cold, no clothes, no protection. I mean, nothing. We were starving. And I remember my father teaching me how to trap, so that's how I was able to survive, because the thing is, I was able to trap some rats. I know it's nasty, but you know what?
You're starving.
I'm alive here, living proof that, you know what? It pays attention. It pays to pay attention to, you know, what others tell you. So that's how I survived, because I remember, I don't remember my father, but I remember some of his teachings. So that's how I survived.
What about your mom? I know that, you know, she was a single mom after your dad died.
Mm-hmm.
And she was able to keep the family together with the help of your older brothers.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we came, you guys came to America. And she passed away a couple of years ago, almost a decade now.
Mm-hmm.
But what do you remember about your mom? What is the one thing that stood out the most about you that your mom did or said to you?
I've always been close to my mother. I mean, I do have a younger brother and younger sister, but the thing is they were too young to understand. So I went with my mother everywhere, whether if it's farming, whether it's just to go get some vegetables, it doesn't matter. I've always been with her. So when I lost her, it hit really close to home.
I know. You were away for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And but, you know, we were all together at the end.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, I was in the military for a long time, but, you know, like I said, I was very close to her. So even if she's gone now, it's just one of those things where you don't believe that she's gone. But, you know, just one of those facts that you just got to deal with. You know, she's gone, but she's still here, though. But she influenced a lot of things I've done in my life. It's huge because my mother, I mean, she could have easily remarried when, you know, my father died. I remember there were a lot of instances where, you know, my older brothers, they didn't have any say. But there were a lot of guys that came in, you know, in our culture.
Yeah, remarry is a big thing.
It's a really big thing because, you know, you have guys that come in and court her all the time. Even though my brothers, they hated it, you know, it's not in their right to tell them to get out. So my mother, I mean, she could have easily remarried, but she didn't. She didn't want to lose all the sons that she had. So through that experience, I mean, you draw on things like that because she could have remarried and took off, but she didn't do it. So that played a lot of decisions that I make in my life too. So I'm just glad that I was close to her. And yeah, a lot of the things I've done is based because of my mother.
What lessons have you learned from life that you would like to share, either with me or with, you know, your kids?
I mean, life has been hard, but the thing is that I persevere. I met you, had kids, had done great things. I mean, jumping off airplane, parachuting, helping others around the world, travel places. It's great.
You were even in Iraq too. So.
Yes. It's great and all, but the thing is that to me, I mean, if there's one thing I want them to know and understand is that, you know, whether you believe in God or not, the thing is that one thing I want to know, I mean, that I do know is that whether you believe in God or not, I mean, God only helped those that help themselves. And like I said, in situations where you see, you know, artillery is blowing up in your face, you got to help yourself. And whatever it is that you want to do, you can always do. And the one thing I know for sure, the one thing that's not on my side is time. I can do pretty much anything I want to do, but time would never be on my side. So you just got to take advantage of whatever it is that you want to do. And, you know, your son and your daughter, if they one day they want to listen in on, you know, our conversation here, is for them to understand that they can be and do whatever it is that they want. Just be true and be honest.
How would you like to be remembered?
Well, anything or anybody beyond you and my kids, chances are they're never going to remember who you are, no matter how you look, what you've done, how much money you contributed, even if they have the biggest statue of you. And nobody's going to remember you. They just know that you've done something good. But I sure hope that if I pass before you, I would expect that you remember me as a good person. That
you are.
That, you know, I lived a good life, that I was happy with you. I would expect that the kids would remember that I was a good person. That's because all I am and all I will ever be is, for the living, is that just a image, a memory. That's all it is. And whether good or bad, I sure hope that they remember me as a good person.
I just wanted to thank you for coming with me. I know it's kind of hard. When I first brought it up to you and I asked you, I was like, oh, is he going to go for it? But you've been telling me a lot of stories, and all the years that we've been together, it's like bits and pieces here and there.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always wanted to capture some parts or some moments of it.
Mm-hmm.
So that way I can remember it, or so that way, you know, the kids can remember it. So it's just a piece of our life, the things that we done, things that we said that brought us to this moment. So that's the reason why I asked you to come and talk to me and share a couple of your thoughts. Even though we talk to each other all the time, it's always to have something down so that you can always listen to it.
Right.
So I hope that, you know, you're okay with it. I didn't even ask you. I just say, this is what we're doing. And I just dragged you here.
Yeah, that's it. That's you. No, I don't have any issues. Just that it's always been hard for me, because the thing is that no kid should ever go through that kind of trauma. Because the thing is that you either come out of it, you know, on top, or you're going to be on a buttload of, like, chemical just to stay sane. I mean, I've seen a lot of people in my shoes. I mean, they're gone already. They just can't handle it. You just got to be smart enough to know that, you know what, you're not any different than any one of those, you know, people out there. You can do it too. And anybody, they should have the same mentality. But yeah, I don't have an issue. I'm just glad that I was able to give just a little glimpse. I know I told you some of this stuff, but like, it's been hard because it's not something where, you know, you can just easily just tell it. Even though you're my wife, it's still hard to tell. Because I'm not like a computer where you can just selectively just pick and choose what memory that you can actually erase. It's there. And no matter how fantastic it sounds, it's part of my memory. And it won't ever go away. So if you do want to hear, of course, I'm more than happy to share with you.
Anything else you'd like to share?
No. I'm good.
Well, thank you. And I'm glad and I'm happy to be your wife. So, thank you.
Yes, you were that missing piece. So I'm glad that things worked out.
Me too.
Yes.